I want to talk to you this morning, if I can, for just a little while, Pastor. On this thought, I got the PCBs. Now, you have probably heard of the PPDs, right? Postpartum depression. That's what they tell all you ladies you're going to have if you have a baby. I mean, they prepare you to be depressed. That's something you ladies have when a baby's born. Okay? It's something you dads have the rest of that child's life. You've probably heard of the PTSDs. Post-traumatic stress disorder. That's a terrible, debilitating problem that our military personnel have when they come back from war. My brother was in Desert Storm 1, under President Bush 1, and he was with the 101st Airborne that was dropped into Baghdad, and he got into some terrible gunfire, and there was a lot of killing that went on. And to this day, some 30 years later, he still suffers from that at times. If he's out and he hears a car backfire or someone shoots a gun that he doesn't know where it is, he automatically reaches for his weapon, which he carries at all times. If he's around fireworks and he doesn't have his weapon and he hears that and he doesn't know what it is, he'll die for protection. It's a horrible thing that our military men and women are suffering. But maybe you haven't heard of the PCBs. Probably not, because I made it up. I do that a lot. Really wild imagination. Yeah. I don't need any help up here. I call it the post-Christmas blues. All the excitement is over. Finally, if we had any. The spending, the wrapping, the unwrapping, the house, the clutter, the ball games, the food, family, hopefully, all gone home. It's just different, though, wasn't it? My girls came, brought their families. One of them would come on Christmas Eve, stayed a couple hours and left. Another one came when that one left, stayed a couple hours and left. Another one came at 2 o'clock, stayed a little while and left. The last one came at 5 o'clock, stayed about an hour and left. But we weren't able to be together. And I missed that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Now some of you may have, you know, tossed caution to the wind and gathered anyway. But I have come to realize something here, and I'm not going to get into a debate with you about what you think about what's going on in our world today. I've just come to the realization that I'm an old man now, and I've got to use a little common sense and take care of myself. Doesn't hurt to be cautious. And I appreciate what Pastor is trying to do to help all of us stay aware of what's going on and what we can do to take care of ourselves. But now we're left with loneliness. Everybody's gone home. We're left with the cleanup. My wife has already taken down all Christmas decorations. There's no sign of Christmas in my house. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, I'm through with it. Haven't you felt? I'm through with this year. It's just all the stuff we bought for people we don't like, and all of the long lines that are now at the return counters because they didn't want it in the first place. And now we're waiting on that charge card bill to come in to pay for that stuff. Mm-hmm. Kind of giving me the post-Christmas blues, just kind of the blahs. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about how Mary and Joseph must have felt after that Christmas day.
Come on.
See, we don't talk about that much.
Right.
We preach for weeks about the events leading up to and including the birth of Jesus. We talk about all of the things that went on prior to his birth, and we make big productions out of them, but nobody talks much about what happened a few days or a couple of years after Christmas. And I want to concentrate for just a moment here on Joseph. Do you understand Joseph's the forgotten man of Christmas? Bible doesn't record anything that he ever said. Not one word did Joseph speak that's written in the Bible. Not a word. I don't even know if the man could talk. He's completely ignored. Jesus never called him that. The only reference that he was even Jesus' earthly father was when they were leaving the temple. And Mary said, "Do you not know that me and your father was kind of worried about you?" Mm-hmm. It's only a reference to him of even being Jesus' relation. Right. Nothing is said about him. We talk about baby Jesus. We talk about Mother Mary. We talk about the shepherds abiding in the field. We talk about the wise men bringing gifts. We talk about the heavenly hosts singing their carols. But where's Joseph? He's standing in the background, leaning on his staff, about half asleep. That's all we know of him in the whole scenario. Well, I want to find out today. I want to show you today. First, I want to show you how much he is ignored. In Mark chapter 6 and verse number 3, this is what we find out about him. "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues. And many hearing him were astonished." Verse number 3. "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary?" They didn't even, Steve, say, "This is Joseph's kid."
Yeah.
All they made mention of was Mary. Now here's something, and I'm not going to get into this theological stuff with you today. I'll discuss it with you at some time if you want to. But the brother of James and Joseph, that's Joseph, and of Judah, and of Simon. And then he had two sisters. One, Silmon, I think was her name, and the other one was Anna. Are they not his sisters here with us? Now, let me just throw something out here for you to think about. If you want to do a little study, do a study for yourself. Those were not Mary's kids. Mary and Joseph never had kids. Okay? Those were Joseph's kids from a previous marriage. Okay? Now, I'll just leave that there for you theologians. All you've got to do is just do a little study, a little theological research, and you'll find these things out for yourself. But I'm not here to discuss that with you today. We'll do that at some other point. What I want to talk to you today is I want to find out what happened in their lives after Christmas was over and all of that excitement that they went through and experienced those couple of years. This little family's life is turned upside down and nothing is ever going to be the same. Now, Luke sums this up. In fact, the next 12 years or so in just two verses. Pastor Chris was teaching us a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night about from the time Jesus was found in the temple teaching the scholars until the time he entered the ministry at 30. There's 18 years there. And we were talking about what happened during that 18 years. We don't really know, except we can take it from Luke chapter 2, verse 39 and 40. Kind of gives us the insight on what was going on during those 18 years. And so when they had performed all things, according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's what was going on for 18 years or so. Jesus was just growing in God. He was learning the law. He was learning what they were supposed to do. He was allowing the Spirit of God to make him strong. Okay. Matthew goes a little farther with his description in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. I'm going to talk about Joseph. I am talking about Joseph. This whole story would not have happened had it not been for Joseph. The wise men have come and gone. Mary and Joseph have retired for the night, and an angel comes to visit Joseph in a dream. Now, here's what I'm saying. Yes, an angel came to Mary and told her, Angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her what was going to happen with the birth of Jesus. But from there on out, you see that the angel kept coming to Joseph. Multiple times an angel came and spoke to Joseph. Chapter 1, verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 22. And then I'll show you some others in just a little while. So Joseph is an important figure in the Christmas story that we've completely ignored. Now here's another interesting fact. And again, we'll discuss this at another time if you'd like. Joseph was, according to Epinesis, who was a theologian, the same time as this was all happening, along with like Josephus, and they gave us the history of those. You can get their material and read it. This is not something I'm pulling out of the sky. Claims that Joseph was somewhere between 40 and 80 years of age. That's a pretty big span, but he was at least that old. Mary, on the other hand, was somewhere between 14 and 16. Now, that's a common thing in those days. Try to get a picture of that. Allie, how old are you? About 14, 15? 15? What do you think? You come home from school one day, and your mom and daddy's got this 50, 60, 70-year-old guy sitting there on the couch and said, come here, Allie. Want you to meet your husband. Pretty girl, son. That's what happened. That's the way it was in those days. All we do know really about that, we don't know for sure. That's just what the custom was of that day and what the theologians have taught us about those days. What we do know is that he died before Jesus' earthly ministry actually began, because the Bible will record that over when Mary was at the foot of the cross of Jesus. In fact, Joseph is nowhere after this either. But none of this would happen if it hadn't have been for Joseph. Because that's who God kept talking to. Anyway, this angel comes, tells him you got to go to Egypt because Herod's going to try to kill the baby Jesus. Now, here's what I want you to see out of this little story this morning about Joseph. Number one, I want you to recognize his obedience.
Right.
In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 14, it says this, and when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. He didn't waste any time. He didn't wait till daylight. He got him up, packed the suitcase, loaded the donkey, and they left in the darkness. Now think about this. When they left to go, they went from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They just went to do what was the custom of the day. They were going to pay their taxes. They was going to do what was necessary. And they planned on going back home. They told the folks when they left, we'll see y'all in a few days. They had no plans on moving out lock, stock, and barrel. The family and everything they had was back in Nazareth. But Joseph was an obedient man. Do you see that?
Yeah.
He didn't ask God why. He didn't ask God what for. He didn't ask God, give me the details. I don't understand any of this. He just obeyed God.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's why God chose him.
Right. Obedience.
See, guys, listen to me. This is not just about Mary. The man that she married was going to be the stepfather of Jesus and had to raise him according to God's word.
Right.
He could not be some flunky or deadbeat dad
right. Come on.
That Mary picked up at the market.
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't find him at the mall with his pants halfway to his knees and body piercing all over. He had to be a man that God could trust.
Yes, sir.
He had to be loyal. Yes. He had to be trustworthy. He had to be faithful.
Yeah.
He had to be obedient. Now listen to me, guys. If you want God to use you, and you want to be God's friend, and you want to be pleasing to God, and you want God to trust you, then you're going to have to learn to be obedient to what God tells you to do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Just do what he says.
Yeah.
Joseph was obedient. What if he hadn't have followed God? What if he had been like some of us? Man, Lord, can't we wait till daylight?
Yeah.
I don't know if I got enough straw in the donkey. Hey. You know, in the donkey, I guess they don't need straw. They lay on that. I don't know, man. Weather's not real good.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can get to church or not. He didn't question anything. He just said, the angel spoke it. Let's do it.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
Things were different in those days, too, because it doesn't say Mary questioned Joseph.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a pastor come to me one time and said, and y'all know him well, so do you, Brother Snow. And he said, I feel like God's told me to resign the church and move on. And I felt like I agreed with him. So I went to him. He said, but my wife won't go. And I went to her, and we sat down, and my wife and I, and him and his wife, and I said, well, I don't understand. He feels God leading them to another place, and he's trying to be obedient to God. And she said, God's not going to tell him to do something unless he tells me to do it. Somewhere, somebody failed to teach her what the Bible says about God's chain of order and command.
Yeah.
Oh, you ladies loving this. Now, I'm not saying he's being a boss man. I'm not saying that at all. But God has chosen the man to be the head of the house. And God, just like the angel spoke to Joseph, God speaks to the man. Now, yes, he will give the wife a peace about those things, but he will not cause division between the husband and the wife.
That's right. Good.
Oh, I don't know where that came from. I'm going to write that down. Oh, case I ever preach this again, I'm going to use it. Okay, let me get on out of the way. Number two thing I learned was God's provision. Chapter 2, I'm still in Matthew, chapter 2, verse 11 says, on coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Do you understand the value of what they gave to Jesus? Frankincense and myrrh were actually more valuable in that day than gold was. Because they're both a rosin. Frankincense and myrrh, both a rosin that comes from different trees. And those trees were so rare they could only be found on an Arabian peninsula. And so it was a great expense to harvest that. And it was extremely expensive. And they were both used for medicinal purposes. Kind of like Jack Daniels. Some of you were looking way too serious there. I'm going to break it. It was used to treat inflammation. It was used to treat anxiety. Mix them together and they brought a calming to a person's body and to their spirit. They also caused a fragrance to be created, an odor to be created, that brought a relaxation into the whole household. And because of their value for several different things, and they're still used for that, by the way. In fact, myrrh, Pastor, if you ever got any anointing oil from over there, it may have myrrh in it. I have a little bottle of it that my brother-in-law brought back from over there. But according to the statistics, and those who study that, what they brought to them would be valued on today's market at $39 million. That ain't bad.
Yeah. Inheritance.
And so what I want you to see is when you're obedient, God will provide. They had to live for 2 years. They had to have something to live on. They had to pay for stuff. And so God provided for them enough to last them, not only for that time, but for most of their life. But it all came about because Joseph was an obedient man.
Yeah.
You want the God's blessings on you and your family, men? Be obedient.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Third thing that I found. I only got four, so I'm at the third one already. Everybody says, shoo. I want you to notice Herod's anger. Look at verses 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to who?
Joseph
in a dream, saying, arise. Now, drop down to verse 16. Well, go back. And take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, drop down to verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all of the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof. And I'll tell you the area in just a minute. From 2 years old and under, according to the time in which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Well, you talk about postpartum blues or post-Christmas blues. I mean, this usually isn't in the Christmas play that the kids do. I mean, we leave this out. We don't talk about Mary and Joseph running for their lives. We don't talk about them having to escape to another country. We don't talk about dead babies piled up everywhere they went. Not a pretty part of the Christmas story, is it?
No, sir.
Let me tell you about this man here. Mean, evil, vicious, sadistic. And you can just read in your history. You don't even have to get spiritual to read this. Read in your history about him. Caesar Augustus said it's better to be King Herod's pig than his son, because pigs were protected by the wall. But Herod's family wasn't. History records that he killed two of his sons, strangled them to death so they couldn't take over his throne. He killed the favorite of his 10 wives because he thought she was unfaithful. He killed his 18-year-old brother-in-law because people liked him too much. He killed his favorite wife's grandfather and uncle. He killed his own uncle and one of his mother-in-laws. So what's a few babies?
Yeah.
And the babies were killed to fulfill prophecy. Look down to verse 17. Then there was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentations and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Now here's what I want you to see. What's this deal about Rachel and Ramah? Rachel was the wife of Jacob. Remember that. She's buried in Bethlehem, which is 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Ramah is a city 5 miles north of Jerusalem. So Herod, when he talked about in the scripture we read earlier to you about all of his districts, all of his coasts, he takes a pencil and he starts at Ramah and he draws a circle all the way down and back up. And all of that area inside that circle was his district. And inside that area is where he commanded all of the children 2 years old and younger be put to death. Okay? Vicious.
Yeah.
Vicious. Do you understand that Mary and Joseph were having a bad time?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the Christmas when the angels were singing, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Where'd the joy go? It's been a nightmare for 2 years.
Yeah.
Lastly, I'm having to leave out a lot of stuff here because I told Pastor I'd keep it short. He don't believe me, so I'm trying. Lastly, it was God's plan.
Yes.
All of this was God's plan. God knew what was going on. Jesus knew this was going to happen. For this cause was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, he said. Look at verse 15. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Now, it was God's plan to get them out of Egypt from the very beginning. Because if you go back to Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1, you're going to read these words. And at least I don't know if I gave you that. Yes, I did. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, understand this. When they were in Egypt, they weren't by themselves. By the time Egypt, at this time, see, Herod died shortly after they got there. But before that, Herod had lost his power. Thousands of Jews fled to Egypt, actually. And they were safe from Herod's wicked reign. In fact, they began to set up settlements and had temples and synagogues there. The land that once enslaved them was now protecting them.
Right.
Only God can do that.
Yes, sir.
Only God can do
that. Amen.
Only God can take what is intended to hurt you and turn it into something good.
Only
an attack of the enemy and turn it into blessing. Only God can take the fraud and the deception and the lying and the cheating and the evil of 2020 and turn 2021 into the best year ever for His children.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Amen.
Do you understand that everything that happened this year is God's plan? I don't have a clue what He's doing. Probably a good thing I don't. I just know that if I'm obedient, God will take care of me. Look at verse 19. After Herod died, but when Herod was dead, I'm reading from the New King James. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to
Joseph.
In Egypt. Don't matter where you are, God knows and He can find you. Okay, so Herod dies of a horrible chronic kidney disease and was eaten up with gangrene. Now history says he knew he was dying, and what he did was ordered all of the Jewish nobility, their priests and their elders and their leaders, and brought them into the Hippodrome and surrounded them by soldiers. And he gave the order when he died, they were to kill all of the Jewish nobility. Believing in his deranged mind that there would go forth a great weeping and wailing. And when the people outside the wall heard that, they would think they were weeping for Herod. But that never transpired. What happened was when Herod died, all the soldiers threw down their weapons and there went forth a great shout. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Joseph has another dream. Verse 19 and 20 again. And Herod died. An angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, said, go take up the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. Headed back to Nazareth by way of Jerusalem. And verse 21 says, he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Did you see that? When he got the word, he got up. Again, he obeyed.
Yes.
No questions asked, no arguing, no problem. It's just time to go home. And then a little bit over farther, it says in another dream, Joseph was warned that Archelaus, who was one of Herod's sons that actually lived and took over the throne, became more evil than his father. A riot breaks out in Jerusalem, and Archelaus stopped the riot by just killing everybody that was involved in it. One time, Archelaus went into the temple during a Passover and executed 3,000 Jews who were just worshiping God. Finally, Rome has enough of this and they banish him away to what is now France, and he died a crazy man. So when Joseph and Mary get back to Judea, they're afraid to stay there, but God comes to them, warns them in another dream to get out of Dodge. Get to Nazareth. Verse 23 says, and I'm down to the last page, believe it or not. And he went and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, here's what I learned from this little story when I began to study the life of Joseph and why we just stay away from him. Why he's not mentioned. And it's usually because we don't know anything about him. But history does.
Right.
Not everything. The Bible says if everything was written that should be written, there ain't enough books to contain it all.
Right. Amen.
What I learned was safest place to be is where God leads you. And the best thing you can do is obey God. 1 Samuel says that to obey is better than sacrifice. We have no clue what's going to happen. We have speculation. I'm afraid, and I, you know, not just like you, I'm hearing all kinds of prophetic words going forth about all kinds of things. I don't know. I'm no prophet. I don't know, Pastor Chris. Man, I got to leave this in God. All I know is I'm going to obey God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
As for me and my house, we're just going to serve the Lord. I'm going to leave that business to Him.
Right.
But the safest place to be is where God leads you, is to be right smack in the middle of God's will. But I also know to be right smack dab in the middle of God's will is one of the most dangerous places you'll ever be. Have time to go into all that, but Paul could probably stand up here and preach all day about being in the middle of God's will and getting the daylight swooped out of you time and time again.
Yeah. Amen.
I learned that. We're not exempt from problems or trouble or anything else, but what I've learned is that if I'll be obedient and if I'll stay where God puts me and if I'll do what God tells me to do, He'll take care of me.
Yes, He will. Yes, sir.
Because He is in charge. He has a plan. You're always safe when you live for God. I'm not telling you bad stuff's not going to happen, because life's not fair. But God is.
Yes, sir.
But God is. Now, do you think Mary and Joseph could have suffered the PCBs just a little?
Maybe.
They didn't have their baby in a nice warm hospital, but in an old cold barn. I'm telling you, I was there when my three babies was born in a nice warm hospital. I'm just so glad it was her doing it, not me. Them nice warm hospitals don't make a bit of difference, does it, ladies? This story does not end, and they lived happily ever after. This is not a fairy tale. This is harsh reality.
Right. Amen.
This story starts out with Mary and Jesus being in a barn, and it ends with Jesus being on a cross. Mm-hmm. Life was nothing like they had planned or expected. They had no idea what lay ahead for them, and neither do we. Let me ask you, and I'm gonna stop. How about you this morning? Was Christmas what you thought it was going to be in January of 2020? We had no idea 2020 was going to become what it became.
Right.
It was a bad year for me, Pastor. I had knee replacement surgery. I had I don't know how many things. The things that were still working broke down. And the things that are still working hurt. I feel like, did you ever see that movie, $6 Million Man, or that TV show, you know, where they rebuilt him? Russell, I feel like the 60 Cents Man. I can't even. And you'd get back change. It ain't been a good year. Some of us lost family. Some of us lost our health. I was so stupid I tried to climb a fence the other day. Old men got no business trying to climb a 6-foot fence. I fell over that fence and was hanging upside down on that fence thinking, I'm going to die right here. And the bird is not going to know where I am. And that wasn't even the worst part. The worst part was getting off of it and trying to get back over. It ain't been a good year. It sure hadn't turned out like I thought it was going to. How about you? But what I have learned is you keep faithful to God.
Yes.
You keep obeying God. And God will just keep taking care of you.
Yeah.
One more scripture and then for real I'm done. I want you to look at Luke chapter 13, verse 31 and 33. This just blew me away when I read this. The same day, there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out. Get out of here. And depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, yeah, and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be protected. Nevertheless, I must walk today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. I love that. You know what Jesus said? He said, you just go tell that old fox that I'm going to do something today. I'm curing people today. And tomorrow, and the third day. They're telling us that COVID's probably going to get us. And it might. But you know what? You just go tell that old fox that Isaiah 53 and 5 says, but I'm healed by his stripes. I'm healed. Well, they're going to get you money. I don't know if you got your little Social Security raise. It just makes me mad. I wish they wouldn't even give it to me. About $20. A couple days later, I got a letter that said my Medicare is going up $30. Get you 401ks. They're going to get you savings. They're going to get you retirement. Well, you tell that old fox at Philippians 4 and 19 says, my God is going to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Well, the government's against us. No, the government's not. I won't say that. But some of the leadership in government is. That evil woman and her band of bandits. They're against us. Well, Romans 8:31 says, it's all right. Because if God be for me, who can be against me? You just tell that old fox to go to hell. That's where he come from. That's where he's going back to.
Yeah.
Father, I love you today. Yes, it's a troubled time that we live in, but you said in the last days, perilous times are going to come. So obviously, we are in the last days. Because these are the most perilous times I have ever seen in my short life. But God, I am so excited as I anticipate what you're going to do. I have run this scenario through my little brain every way possible, and I just can't get this figured out. So I have decided that I'm going to just obey. I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to follow you. Because you got this figured out. This is your plan. And I'm excited to see how you're going to bring all this about and bring us through to the other side. Lord, everyone sitting here today has had some kind of an obstacle this year. Even some of our youth have had to face some things this year. Lord, help us not to grow weary, not to grow discouraged, not to give up, not to get depressed. But just keep obeying. Just keep doing what we know to do that is right. And you will continue to provide and take care of us supernaturally. Bless our people today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.